Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and our study of Mark chapter 1. In this study, we will cover verses 14 through 28. We titled this study, Jesus, the Life Changer. But we'll cover a number of important things, including the fact that Jesus appeared at an appointed time, which had been revealed to Daniel the prophet. But this revelation was unrecognized by the Jews of the first century. This information and more awaits in our study of Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 28.
Verse 14, where we left off last week. And last week we read about the baptism of Jesus and how that He was fulfilling all righteousness. And after this scene of the baptism, it says, now after that, that's what it's referring to, after that scene that we studied last week, John was put in prison. How many of you know that if you serve the Lord, it can get you in trouble? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Doesn't always end up with you getting thrown in prison, but people have lost their jobs. People have lost family and friends and relationships. Neighbors will cut you off sometimes. Things happen if you serve the Lord. Paul later says that we know that if any man live for the Lord, he will suffer persecution. And it says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're not going to rehash that, but we have to remind you when we see this. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not the same as the gospel of grace, as we call it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom was the good news that your Messiah has come, and now if you will receive Him, you will have your kingdom. That's not what you and I preach. We preach that Jesus was rejected of His own. The Jews rejected their Messiah. So now the gospel of grace has gone out to the whole world, Jew and Gentile. How that Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And if you will believe that, you are saved. As a Gentile, you are grafted in. And Romans 11 explains that olive branch, and the branch is broken off because they rejected the Messiah. And then those of us as Gentiles are grafted in. And he continues in saying in verse 15, read that with me, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So the time is fulfilled. Now, most people read that, just skip right there, just go on with it, say, oh, the time is fulfilled. That means, oh, it's time for this to happen. But this reference here, the time is fulfilled, is not just a generic reference. It is referring to a specific truth in God's Word, in that book, that told the Jews when the Messiah would come. And that time was fulfilled, and now it was time for Messiah, and that's what John was preaching. If you go to Daniel 9:24, I want you to turn there. If you have your Bibles with you, turn there to Daniel 9:24, and this is one you want to mark in your Bible. In Daniel 9:24, the first words are, 70 weeks are determined. That is that God has ordained that there would be 70 weeks. And he goes in, we're not going to go through that whole passage, but he says the 70 weeks is 77s of years. A week of years is 7 years. And we went through this line by line in detail in our Wednesday night studies. We're not going to rehash that. But 77s, who knows math? I don't want to put the kids on the spot. But any of you kids, what's 70 times 7? This little girl up here says 490, so I'll take that answer. Mike's breaking out the calculator. Oh, the Japanese and Chinese got us whipped. So 490 years. Now, we're not going to take time to look at all that, but it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. It's talking about the Jews. This is about the Jews. And upon thy holy city, talking about Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. It's bad enough that us Gentiles are ignorant of this fact, but it's worse that the people it was intended for remained ignorant, and are ignorant of it to this day. You can't find one out of 100 Jews alive today who know what this is telling them. And it's telling them that they missed it now. But before they missed it, it was telling them when it was going to happen. Now, as I said, we studied this in detail, and this is a chart that we're going to make available where it's detailed that when the command by Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem, which you can read about in Nehemiah 2, 1 and 8, that was given in Nisan, according to the Jewish calendar, which is our March and April, 445 B.C. And you start counting from there. And then you see that if you count down these 69 weeks, then that's when Jesus came into Jerusalem. It's just a fact. It's a historical, mathematical fact that from the time that Artaxerxes commanded to rebuild the city and the temple, you count 69 weeks. Now that leaves 1 week right here. In between the 69 and the 70th week is where we are. We're in this church age. The Jews studying Daniel 9, we're not going to rehash, but we've talked about it, they should have known that after 69 weeks, the Messiah would appear and be cut off. And it says, not for His own. Why? Because He was sinless. He was cut off for the sins of others, the sins of the whole world. And if the Jews had known their Bible, they would know that. And if you Gentiles study your Bible, that will build your faith in that book and understand it's not a man-made book. It's given to us by God, and it tells us exactly when the Messiah would show up, and He did. It's also telling us that after the rapture, there's going to be a covenant of 1 week where the Antichrist is going to confirm that covenant for 7 years, which is the 70th week. That's the Great Tribulation period. So just, again, but just like when He came the first time, the Jews didn't know this. Very few knew it. When He comes the second time and raptures the church, beginning that countdown, they won't know this either. And most Gentiles are ignorant of this as well. And you try to talk about the rapture and you try to talk about the end times, you're wasting your breath because they're ignorant. They don't even know the Bible. You can't talk about factual things when someone doesn't know what you're talking about. It's like talking to a liberal about the Constitution. They're ignorant. They have no idea what the Constitution says. You can't talk to a liberal about separation of church and state. Isn't in the Constitution, and they'll tell you it is, for example. On and on it goes. Ignorance cannot be corrected without knowledge. Knowledge is the answer to ignorance. And that's why you can't talk to these folks, liberals in the Constitution and politics, liberals in religion. Like I said, we're not going to rehash all that, but that's very important if you haven't got a hold of that, because then we see when we jump ahead into the Gospels, for example, in Luke 19, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and in Luke 19, verse 41, it says, "And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it." Why? He tells you why. Saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day." He's telling him, if you had known Daniel chapter 9, if you had known the 70 weeks prophecy, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. What hid it from their eyes? Ignorance and tradition. Ignorance and tradition. They took the Babylonian Talmud, another rabbinical, Pharisaical traditions. The Sadducees were the liberals of their day. They rejected the physical resurrection, which is why they're Sadducee. And all of these traditions, and mixed with ignorance, kept them from recognizing what God had told them was going to happen. God told them exactly when the Messiah was going to show up, and they ignored it. Then in verses 43 and 44, it continues. Jesus is talking here. He says, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." This is exactly what happened in 70 AD with Titus the general. The Roman general came down, compassed the city, surrounded the city. He built a trench about thee and basically walled them in and began to starve them. They got so desperate that they actually began to eat people as they died. They turned to cannibalism. That's how desperate they became. And it says, "And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Ask Mike, he was there. Temple's gone. Ain't a stone left, is there? Look, why? "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Because they didn't know their Bible. That's it. Because they didn't know their Bible. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You will not have faith. You will die spiritually if you do not fill your mind and heart with the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know that perfect and acceptable will of God." That's it. And yet that simple truth, which ought to be as clear as crystal, is something you just can't get through people's heads. They would rather watch Dancing with the Stars and go to movies and sit for 2 hours watching a movie, but they can't sit for 2 hours in a church service. You got to be in and out in 45 minutes or they're not coming to your church. I don't feel sorry for those people. We've had them come in here and leave, and they can't keep coming back because we're here too long. That's without even the food and fellowship. And they want in and out of here in 45 minutes. Those people are pathetic, and they're going to answer to God for being so pathetic. I used to be one of those people. And you could tell by looking at my life. If you can spend 2 hours watching that godless filth in a Hollywood theater, if you can spend 2 hours in front of the boob tube, then you can spend 2 hours once a week in the presence of God's people with an open book studying the Scripture like an adult. Amen. Amen. I was getting ready to amen myself. Thank you, Sandy. I don't always tell this stuff. I don't put it on the Facebook because I don't want anybody to think that I'm boasting on me as a teacher, because I know it's not me as a teacher. It's anybody who is called of God. You do have to be called of God, but if you will just obey the call and teach this book, you'll be a hero. And yet, man after man after man is called into the ministry, and then he sells his soul for some denominational franchise cause. They stop teaching the Word. They start being behavioral scientists and trying to psychoanalyze and therapize everybody. I made that word up. Well, I believe in the power of the Word of God, but that's an example of what we just read. Just by reading and knowing the book, it would have saved a nation. And a whole nation was destroyed because they didn't know that Bible. Then in verse 14 and 15, as it said, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled." And then he says, "And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And don't let this fly over your head. If Israel had received her king, the kingdom would have begun immediately. That's a fact. But it's also a fact that the prophets foretold that this would not quite work out. So again, the possibilities are there. The opportunities were there. But God even put it in writing what was going to happen, and yet they didn't read, they didn't know it, and they fell right into it. When you see Jesus constantly saying, talking about their eyes being blinded, you need to understand, He's not saying He's blowing smoke in their eyes and blinding them. They are blinded by their own unbelief. You remember Isaiah 53:3, and it talks about, this is a prophecy in Isaiah given 700 years before Jesus was born, telling about His crucifixion. And in verse 3 it says, "He is despised and rejected of men," foretelling this rejection. "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." But look at this. It says, "And we hid," as it were, "our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. That's a Jew, Isaiah, talking about the Jews hiding their faces, esteeming Him not, despising Him. That was prophesied. And if they'd known the prophets, they would have known this was all going to happen. So that sets the stage of the ministry of Jesus Christ. We already are given the information from Mark what's about to happen. And in verses 16 and 17, I love this little episode that takes place. It says, "Now as He walked by the Sea of Galilee..." Mike, you've been there, haven't you? You didn't walk on it, but you were there, right? On it in a boat. Okay. "And He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." I was named after Andrew there. "For they were fishers." So these are fishers. We got one, at least one in the room I know is authentically a fisher. That's Lee. I don't know if anybody else. I go once in a while, but Lee took me to his hole a couple years ago, and he chose the worst night in the world to take me. We didn't catch anything, but...
Don't blame
me. I didn't. We're still friends. But let me tell you something. That's exciting stuff. You ever go on fishing and catch something? If you don't, it'll bore you to death. But if you catch something, that's just exciting. Well, he says, and Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." I've caught fish. I've also had the opportunity to share the gospel and see someone come to faith. That's much more exciting than catching fish. So if you think catching fish is exciting, share the gospel. And if you see someone come to faith in Jesus Christ, I've even shared the gospel and had them call me up 2 years later. "Hey, I just wanted you to know, remember when you told me all about the gospel and I just basically cussed you on one side and down the other? I want you to know I'm a Christian now. I believe now." But yeah, nothing more exciting than get that phone call. Even though it was around 2 a.m. That's still exciting. That's exciting stuff. Soul going to heaven instead of hell. That got the adrenaline going, Dan. That's when you get up, walk, and pray for a little while. Just walk around the room and pray. Well, that's what's called the Great Commission. We're going to end the book of Mark by saying in Mark 16:15, He said unto them, this is before He ascended to heaven, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Notice He doesn't say you're held responsible for whether or not they believe. We will repeat that from time to time. Because Christians get frustrated. They'll share the gospel. They'll give out the gospel tracts. They'll tell the truth about Jesus. And they won't see a lot of people dropping to their knees in repentance. But God isn't going to hold you accountable for whether or not they believe. God is holding you accountable for whether or not you were faithful to share the gospel. Doesn't mean beat yourself to death if there's ever a person you think, "Oh, I had an opportunity, I blew it." But you should recognize that and do better. And take an opportunity. We go places like Tim Hortons, and we give them a break every once in a while because we'll load them up. And we give them, every time we get coffee, you know, we give them a track or a card or whatever. And we were there yesterday, and I didn't remember giving this woman a DVD. I was going to give her one. She goes, "Oh, got one already back there in the office." I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, this morning." I said, "Wait a minute, I wasn't here this morning." So I wonder who was here. I don't know, but might have been John. Yeah, I was going to ask him, but he's not here. That's exciting. Go try to share the gospel. You find out one of the other Bible believers already been there before you. That is. Now look how they responded. You've just been told what you need to do with your lives. Are you going to respond like this? Verse 18. "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him." How do you follow Jesus? You obey what He tells you to do. You obey Him by following in His footsteps and doing what He tells you to do. He says, "Preach the gospel to every living creature." They responded straightway. They forsook their nets and followed Him. Think about this. If believers would just listen and obey. We sang it this morning. Trust and obey. If believers would just do that, the world would be turned upside down by the gospel. There have been times where masses of Christians have decided to obey Jesus and to forget their own opinions and attitudes and just preach the gospel. And those are times that are marked in history as great awakenings, as missionary movements, turning the world upside down. What brought the Dark Ages to an end was when the grip of Rome over the world was broken by the gospel, and that's all it was. Monks breaking out of the monasteries and farmers leaving the plow behind and going out and just preaching the gospel. And that's what turned the world upside down. And then we see in the next couple of verses, James and John also demonstrate this in verses 19 and 20. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And look how they responded. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, first I want to say the next pet I get, I want to remember, I want to name him Zebedee. But the second thing, because do you know anybody named Zebedee? Nobody. No people, puppies or anything. It's irrelevant. I just thought I'd mention that. Just interesting. I've even met a girl named Jezebel. Now, I wouldn't name my daughter Jezebel, but I've met a Jezebel. I've never met a Zebedee. Huh? A boy named Sue. That's right. Even though a boy... So they hear this call and they straightway left Zebedee and went after him. So it's the same example. Now that word straightway, Mark is going to use it. You're going to see it time and again. I counted 19 verses where Mark uses that word straightway in reference to responding to the word of Jesus Christ. You don't have to know everything, but you're held responsible that when you hear something from God, you straightway respond. Straightway means immediately and without hesitation. Just do it. Now, I'm not talking about Nike. I'm talking about the gospel. Just do it. Well, God says do something. Make sure it's really what He's telling you to do, and then just do it. That's all there is to it. And that rhymed, and I didn't mean to. Mark 1:21 then says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway, there it is again, on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, don't lose track of this. You do have to differentiate some of what you read because this is a Jew named Jesus speaking to the Jews in their synagogues on the Sabbath. And you're going to have to take note of that. He was the Jewish Messiah. Some folks want to make him a white dude with blonde hair and blue eyes. Other people want him to be black. He was neither. He was a Jew. And he came to the Jews. And we mentioned before, Gentiles grafted in as a result of his being rejected. You remember in Matthew 15, he's talking to the Gentile lady, and he said, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it says in verse 22, this is one of my favorite verses as a teacher and a preacher of the Word. It says in verse 22, I want you to read that with me. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. I have got authority, not in of myself, but in the authority of that book. And when as a teacher, I present the plain, simple truths of that book, I can speak with authority. The reason why so many preachers and teachers today don't speak with authority is because they don't even believe the book they're holding. And I'm telling you, I know that because I've talked to a lot of them. And I've talked to preachers around here. I stopped going to this ministerial association. You are not a minister if you don't believe that book and you teach it with faith. You're a fake. You're a fraud. You're a hireling. I don't want to associate with that. I don't got time to fellowship with that. Jesus taught with authority, not as the scribes. You know what a scribe is? It's your basic academic professor, seminary, and your pastors and teachers today. They're not trained to be preachers. You go to Bible college and seminary, they don't teach you how to die. Well, wait a minute. You're going to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're not trained how to die? You better be trained how to die, because if you really preach and teach the Word of God, you're liable to be killed. They don't teach these men how to suffer. There's no training on how to what to do when you get thrown in prison. There's no training on what to do when the church you're preaching in, if it's democratic, which it shouldn't be, but a lot of them are, and they vote you out and you lose your job and you're homeless as a pastor because you preach the truth. I've been there. Happens. I was in a denomination You get in a denomination, they run it like a franchise. They don't like what you're saying, they vote you out. You're jobless. And you don't collect unemployment when you get kicked out of ministry. They don't teach that stuff in seminary. Why? Because they're not training preachers. They're not training preachers. They're training professors, just like them, to stand up and teach without authority. They're training scribes. And most of those in pulpits today are scribes. Men of God preach with authority because we have the authority of the Word of God. In other words, Jesus was no Joel Osteen. Jesus was not like these mealy-mouthed preachers. But look what happened. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." What's that say about these people who don't even know Jesus today? Isn't that interesting? Foul spirits know exactly who Jesus is, but most Americans know nothing about Him. You go out on the streets with a microphone and interview them, they can't tell you hardly anything about Jesus. It's just ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, or so are the people who aren't God's people, destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's especially true in the academia and media. Well, look how Jesus responded, verse 25, 26. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed," verse 27, "insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Now you see, the world doesn't respond that way to these TV preachers and the faith healers and people we see today, because that isn't how it happens with them. If you look closely, you'll notice there were no offerings taken up. There was no preaching of word faith or positive confession. There was no paid admission. There were no big choirs, no music song. You know, Jesus didn't say, "We have tonight with us a demon-possessed man. Let's sing." I mean, that's what happens when you turn on these faith healers on TV. You got a bunch of people sick and dying in wheelchairs and everything, and they want to have us praise and stuff. "Hey man, why don't we sing after the healing?" And then what they do is they take people who aren't even in a wheelchair to begin with, put them in a wheelchair, bring them up on stage, pull them out of the wheelchair, say, "He's healed!" And the guy's like, "Wait a minute, I walked in here." But the camera's off, the mic's off, and that's how they play that game. You see, the world was impressed with Jesus because He wasn't a fake, like these fakes on TV, like these charlatans who take your money and live in their own personal private jets and all that stuff. But here's the result. This is where we're going to close. I want you to read verse 28 with me. "And immediately His fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." You see, that these miracles that Jesus performed were so authentic that people just couldn't help but talk about it. "And His fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee." And that's it, folks. That is our calling. We are to lift up Jesus. It's that simple. We should be telling everybody we can about Jesus. Bragging about Jesus. Talking about Jesus.
Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.